Welcome back, everyone, to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the fundamentals in the news to the technicals in the charts. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And we're continuing the theme of volatility. TiVo, volatility is the name of the game. It has been for the last couple of months. It's been the case for the entirety of this year. And I don't know if your neck's hurting. I don't know if your back's hurting. I'm sure some of the listeners out there have to at least have a little bit of pain because it is whiplash season. If you feel like you have been in a monetary car wreck or even like a mental car wreck because of what's because of the kind of whiplash you've been getting over here, you are not alone. And so in today's rundown, we're going to not only talk about what has been happening, the good, the bad, the ugly, but also what we can expect going forward. Now, a little bit of a spoiler alert here. There is both good and bad catalysts at work. We're going to talk about some of these bad catalysts that are causing these sell-offs in the market. Things like tariffs, things like the fear of a trade war. We have a lot of the other correlated and even uncorrelated markets, both the risk-on and risk-off markets, all seeing steep sell-offs to the downside. We're going to show you that crypto is not the only thing that is getting scared out here. However, there's a bunch of other positive catalysts as well. The fear and greed index is at record lows, some of the lowest points that we've seen in recent history. We also have billionaires coming out and saying that they are increasing their portfolio. They're adding exposure to Bitcoin, and these are people who don't have to do it because they already have billions and billions of dollars. We have ARK coming out and buying almost 40,000 shares of Coinbase. And of course, we have a massive crypto summit that is in store for everyone this Friday at the White House. And there's a lot of speculation out there about what is going to be said, who is going to be there, and ultimately, like, what the result of this is going to be. Obviously, the big thing that everyone's hoping for is for the Bitcoin Strategic Reserve. And I don't even think we can call it that anymore. Now we have to call it a Crypto Strategic Reserve, because in the past week, there was a ton of information that was, let out to the public about that. And so we're going to break that down as well. We're going to make sure that you know everything that you need to going into this week, but really even into the remainder of this year, because we want to make sure that everyone has a perfect understanding of the crypto markets, even if you don't have the time to commit to it. So let's kick things off here, TiVo. I mean, how are you feeling? Is your neck hurting? Is your back hurting? I know I asked that at the beginning, but I didn't give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, I think we nailed it. Really, last week we talked about, I gave out the Bermuda Triangle of things that the market was dealing with, and that definitely holds true. And then you throw in the classic wild cards of, you know, Sunday tweets from the president of the United States, which I know we're going to cover as well. It feels like one of those times. I go back to our episodes, maybe like in the summer and leading into the fall. It feels like one of those times. I think it's a lot more volatile now. But I think that summer was that like slow decline, and then it got ramped up with volatility with the Nikkei trade and a lot of other things leading into the election that caused volatility. So it feels very similar that you know, 107 to 90K range that we played in was that bore you out, and now we're getting into this volatility. And you never know what's going to cause volatility. Like, again, in August, it was the Nikkei trade. Now it's, you know, kind of the Oval Office engaging how this administration is going to run things. But if you really stuck with us, and again, I always say, I know we have a ton of new listeners because I see the numbers. And this is the time. Like, when you go back to those episodes with me and you in July and in August and September, that was where, if you were in the trenches educating, you came out on the other side, hopefully for the better, if you took the information and did your own research and kind of made your plan, then, you know, it worked out for you. And I feel like we're in one of those times again where, we kind of had that bore you out. The volatility is coming, or is here, but, you know, we're in the trenches and we're staying educated. So, you know, I think the best thing is, those days where that, I think you saw the playbook on Sunday where it's like a tweet can rocket the market that was in free fall. And this isn't just crypto, folks. It was, you know, the S&P, the NASDAQ, everything's in free fall. And then one tweet rockets the crypto market 20% across the board, 10% for Bitcoin, and then alts are up 20%. So I think you can't wait to see that and then be like, oh, I got to get in, I got to get in. So now's the time to be educating and figuring out where you want to be, and you gotta parse through the news, and that's what we do every week.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Yeah, could not agree any more with you there, man. And I think the big takeaway is you're right. We saw that a single tweet can reshape crypto. I mean, we fell 21, and I say we, Bitcoin fell 21.5% in a 7-day window. If we look at its performance from February 21st all the way to February 28th, it fell 21.5% from 100K to nearly like 78K. And so it had this gigantic downwards move. And what happened? Well, one tweet brought it all the way back up to around $95,000, $96,000. And it just goes to show you, hey, one moment, one instance can change everything. And we want to be here for it. Just as fast as we went down, we can go up even faster, you know, just as fast, if not even faster. So, you know, there's a lot of cryptos that are going to be affected by this. We want to talk about them. But before we do any of that, you know, let's just briefly look at the charts. And, you know, this is that move that I was talking about. This is that move to the downside where we saw Bitcoin drop from the 21st to the 28th over here. This is about that 7-day window of 21.5 to 21.6% to the downside. And then what happened? Well, we rose from 78K back up to around 95K, 21.5% back to the upside from that low to that high. Now, what has happened since then? Well, this is the whiplash I was talking about. We went from 100K to 78K, up to 95K, back down to 80K. Now we're back up to 91K as of this morning, a little bit lower at the time of making this. But this is pure whiplash. And the people who are buying high are probably feeling a little bit of pain and frustration. But the people who are being patient and accumulating this low, well, they're the ones reaping a lot of the rewards over here. So tons of opportunity. And there's like three key takeaways that I want to give here on Bitcoin before we move on. Number one, again, one moment, one move can change everything. So let's wait and see what we have to hear Friday. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But again, we can go up just as fast as we fell down, if not even faster. Number two, if we zoom out over here, what we have is that Bitcoin is holding the 200-day moving average as a point of support. It did it last week over here. It did it this week over in here. What we saw is that despite maybe getting some candle wicks through this, every single daily candle body close has been above the 200-day moving average and above this anchored VWAP from our previous swing low back on, August 5th or something like that. So Bitcoin is holding a key support level. The only level that we really have, or I guess the next significant level that we have below this, is around like the low 70s. So we're saying, hey, you know, we're hanging on to a crucial support level here, right around the end of the low 80s. If we break this, we have room to the low 70s. However, the big resistance on the up end is going to be the low 90s. So we're in this kind of middle, almost no man's land with where we're currently priced at, but there's some support at the low 80s, there's some more support at the low 70s, and there's definitely a little bit of resistance at the low 90s, 100K, and around 108K. So a couple of different price points to keep in the back of your mind, as we're probably going to continue to see a lot of volatility. I don't see the volatility going anywhere. We're coming out of a big squeeze, out of a breakdown of a crucial support to the 200-day moving average. Historically, we see a lot of volatility in an area like this. So I hope everyone's buckled up. I hope you're all strapped in because things are going to stay, you know, pretty choppy, pretty wild. There's going to be some really great moves. There's probably going to be some more frustrating moves. However, again, just really buckle up for the turbulence that could be to come. Again, not all bad stuff. I think we're going to see some really good stuff. We are, however, continuing to see altcoins kind of bleed. Bitcoin dominance is sitting at the highs as it kind of continues to outperform the market for the most part. I think the most notable thing is that Ethereum broke 2K just yesterday on Tuesday. It broke all the way down to around 1900 and about $90. So just barely broke 2K. It didn't close below it. However, that officially marks the lowest point that we have seen Ethereum hit since back in like November of 2023. So about a year and a half lows, going all the way back to 2023, which, you know, is a little bit of a nervous part. But again, as we zoom out, we know Ethereum has bounced here in 2023. We know it bounced here in 2024. We know it bounced here again in 2024 and already in 2025. So this has been a pretty big support area for Ethereum in the past. It's not alone. You know, Solana's finding some big support here around 120, 130, 140. Another area that it has been very familiar with over the course of all of last year. And XRP is in a very similar boat where it's not going down to yearly lows. It is coming down to like multi-month lows. But this $2 area for XRP has been a phenomenal area of accumulation. You can see I plotted out a couple of little points myself. But yeah, you know, what we're seeing in altcoins is, again, the average altcoin underperforming just a little bit still as we're in this more Bitcoin-centered, Bitcoin-dominant market. But there's a lot of altcoins that are seeing some love. I was doing a little bit of a study this morning looking at some altcoins that have been crushing it. And a lot of them have to do with the ones that Trump mentioned. And again, we're going to get into those in just a bit. But as a result of all of this choppiness, TiVo, there has been about $1 billion in liquidations. In fact, at the time of making this, there's now been well over $1 billion. But just in kind of that initial move up and down from Sunday to Monday, or was it? Yeah, I think it was like Sunday to Monday. And that move just up and down liquidated over $1 billion in positions, which is no small amount. So again, we're feeling the pain. We're feeling all this. And yeah, I think that's a great picture on the screen.
Yeah, classic Minesweepers joke. And I think as we've always said here is, you know, be careful with leverage as much as, you know, I know sometimes you as a master trader, our master trader sometimes plays with it. You know, you got to be careful because you can get wiped out pretty quick. And I think this this Minesweepers, I'm sure most people have played this on the computer before, but yeah, not the week, not the week to be 100x long, right?
Yeah, no, not the week to do that. Yeah, if you're long, you're liquidated. If you're short, you're liquidated. Unless you timed it near perfectly and you had a good stop loss and take profit and everything else, you know, most people are liquidated in both directions here. And that leaves us with like the next big question. And before we even do that, you know, we just flashed an awesome like little meme and graphic up on the screen. If you want to follow us and all of the graphics and charts and articles that we reference on the screens here, you got to go over to our YouTube channel. So if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, then go over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. And that's where you're going to see all the videos that we're referencing over the course of this session. So with that being said, again, friendly little reminder there. But let's answer the big question here, TiVo. What in the world is happening? And I wish I had just a one word fits all answer of like, oh, you know, it was this week, TiVo, someone tweeted something and that was it. Well, unfortunately, it's not that easy. There's definitely a lot that's going on in the current state of the market. As we alluded to earlier, there's the fear of tariffs. There is the trade war going on. There's essentially every asset, risk on, risk off. Almost all of them are falling. Stocks, cryptos, long-term bonds, the US dollar, the oil market, all of it just straight down since the year has started. And that has created a lot of fear. And on top of this, you know, there are more tariff deadlines coming up. So, you know, what's happening here? You know, they were on, they were off, they're on, they were off. Now they look like they're back on. They could be maybe back off. You know, at this point, we're getting double whiplash from the crypto markets and from the tariff news. And people have been a little bit frustrated because they're saying, why in the world should this affect the crypto markets in the first place? And you have to understand that this is something that affects all risk assets. And when we look at risk assets, crypto is kind of at the top end of that spectrum because of its volatility. It is inherently going to be more risky. You know, what is going to give you a higher return, the S&P 500 or a cryptocurrency? Well, probably a crypto. What is going to give you more downside risk potential? Also a cryptocurrency. So when we look at the risk markets and how they're affected by any kind of news, again, they're the ones that see the most volatility. They tend to sell off first in correlation to this stuff. And so when there's the fear of tariffs and a trade war and all the stuff that's happening, cryptos are affected. You know, there's some collateral damage here because whenever people are reducing risk, one of the ways that they do that is through cryptocurrencies. So the update here is that, you know, the tariffs are back on for Canada, for China, for Mexico, for, you know, all these other ones. And it doesn't look like there is a ton of negotiation room. Again, I've seen some conflicting data here, but that is enough to kind of scare people out, cause a little bit of a sell-off. And as a result of this, you know, we have more deadlines coming up. There's March 12th. Going to be deadlines for steel and aluminum tariffs. April 2nd, there's going to be deadlines for auto, semiconductors, copper, lumber. And then, you know, after that, we have reciprocal tariffs as well. So there's a lot of stuff that people are still just saying, hey, we're fearful, we're uncertain, we're doubtful here. That's where the whole acronym of FUD comes from, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And we've talked about this before, but uncertainty is the worst thing for investors. If they know what's going to happen, at least they can brace for it, they can plan for it, they can hedge, they can long, they can short, they can act accordingly. But it's the uncertainty that freaks investors out the most. So when there is the uncertainty of, you know, are these going to stay? Are these going to go? What are the future deadlines going to do? That's where people kind of reduce risk. And I think that's why we're seeing a big sell-off over here in the first place. And again, it's a shame. I think it is kind of silly that we see like Bitcoin selling off in relation to this stuff. I know I've had a lot of people reach out and say, why, like, how does that make sense that Bitcoin crypto should be selling off because of like US tariffs? And I agree, it can be really frustrating. However, I hope that that explains a little bit of the mindset as to why we get this stuff in the first place. Now, secondly here, you know, what in the world is happening? Let's answer the second part of this question. Well, Trump came out on Sunday. He had a really big tweet, kind of came out of left field, and maybe we can flash him up on the screen here, TiVo. But Trump came out and he said, hey, here's an update on the strategic crypto reserve. And he dropped the bombshell. Up until this point, we were looking at it saying, hey, you know, this will probably be a Bitcoin thing. Well, he came out and he said, we are looking at elevating the crypto industry. He labeled it as critical. He said it is a critical industry. He wants to recover it. And then he went to take this a step further. And he said, hey, we're going to move forward on a crypto strategic reserve that includes XRP, Solana, and Cardano. He also said, hey, we want to continue to make crypto or the US the crypto capital of the world. But it's those three altcoins that shook everyone up a little bit because people were going, oh, you know, there's going to be altcoins included in this. And there's a lot of speculation. Why did he choose these three specific altcoins? Well, he chose these three because they are American cryptocurrencies, right? You look at who founded them, the teams, where they're, you know, headquartered and focused. These are essentially American cryptocurrencies. And they're all on the big side, right? They're all big names, Solana, XRP, and Cardano. They're not small fries. They're really large market caps. But it fits into the narrative of a lot of his campaign points so far. The whole America first, made in America, promoting American companies. This fits in line with those themes. So when people are saying why those three, that's the big reason there. It's not overcomplicated. It's not like he personally examined the tech here and was like, oh, you know, I see this and that. And, you know, how they utilize blockchain technology is fascinating. It was really as simple as like, hey, these are three of the biggest American-focused crypto companies, and you know that's why they're kind of being batched in here. And then, of course, there's a tweet after this saying, of course, we're going to talk about Bitcoin and Ethereum pioneering the way alongside these. But there's at least the interest of altcoins with a focus on American altcoins. So, you know, now we have the speculation, you know, what other coins could be included into that pool? And we have a picture on the screen right here kind of showing those other tweets. But what other cryptos could be included? And the final takeaway, and this is really the way that I interpreted this, is if we're going to see those three altcoins get added to a U.S. crypto reserve, then there is a near certainty that they all get a ton of ETFs as well. I cannot see a world, TiVo, and I want to pass it off to you, but I can't see a world where we get a reserve that includes XRP, Solana, and Cardano and ETFs that don't flood in alongside them.
Yeah, man. Again, this is all about digesting and finding this information and figuring it out. And I think it's more than just finding the tweet and hearing what, you know, because we all know President Trump has wild Twitter fingers, almost to the point of being a stand-up comedian sometimes. But I think he's built this this cabinet, and I think we've talked about it when it was selected. You know, David Sacks, the crypto czar, Howard Lutnick. I'm blanking on the Secretary of Treasury, but all these big guys have held crypto or have it. I think David Sacks came out this week saying that he might have actually sold all his holdings for compliance reasons. And I think, you know, he's a billionaire, so he doesn't need the money probably. But I think, I don't know, part of me respects that, especially, you know, after all the years of unusual whales and tracking all the insider trading that's been going on in Congress and the Senate. But I think part of the puzzle, well, the huge part is obviously Trump. He tweets this, and the market skyrockets, like we've talked about. And then I'll hold off, as I know we're going to go back to some technical analysis after the segment, and you're going to see a complete reversal the Monday. So this week goes out Sunday, complete reversal on Monday, and now we're building towards our final segment of the crypto summit, which we'll also cover later. Of where is this all building to? So, you know, as much as you want to take Trump, you also need to, you know, listen to David Sacks. You also need to hear your Howard Lutnick. I know you were talking about the tariffs and the trade, and there's this huge schedule of, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, and the market sells off. And then Howard Lutnick goes on a press tour literally today and yesterday and is like, well, we're negotiating, you know, we might have some news on tariffs. We might have some news on tariffs. So it's like there's a lot of, this is a complete opinion. I've said on the show before, I did take one political science class in college, so take this with a grain of salt. But I think the way this administration is structured is Trump is the strong, loudmouth, you know, going to say basically what he wants, and it's going to be borderline egregious and to the point and very blunt. And then I think he's surrounded himself with a lot of like pit bulls that are going to go out and actually take on the individual things. And you got to listen to these people because they're actually in the trenches trying to figure out, negotiate the deals, and then bring them back to the president and the group to make a decision on it. So as blunt as Trump is, I think everybody in his inner circle is actually the ones that are kind of going out and trying to find that middle ground. And I know the markets would like that, especially if, you know, these tariffs weren't as, you know, strong as they are, because I think that's why everything's falling off. But one other point I wanted to make was, you know, as much as this is the crypto podcast, this is not just crypto. You said stocks, especially the momentum stocks, have fallen off a cliff as well. I mean, Tesla alone, I'll throw up a chart here, like year to date, you know, started at 379, got all the way up to 428, and is now at 270. So that's more than like a 30% decline for Tesla. And if you go back to, you know, November 10th, everybody goes, Tesla's going to 1,000 a share because Elon's in the Oval Office. So I don't believe anybody who says they saw this one coming, right? This momentum stock falling off a cliff. Everybody said it was the biggest buy of all time because, you know, Elon Musk is co-president now. So I think it's catching people a little off sides, and we're doing that, you know, correction regroup, but it's not just crypto. So, yeah, that's my thought. And I guess maybe transition that to specifically crypto, as we can throw this one up and I'll toss it back to you.
Yeah, 100%. And I want to go back actually to those to those other markets in just a sec. But yeah, I mean, if we look at the fear and greed index over here, this thing is, and depending on where you look at it, on CoinMarketCap, we're teetering on the line of extreme fear. But if we look at it on most other resources, we have been in extreme fear and pretty deep in that territory. On CoinMarketCap, we're around a 25, but I saw us at a 15 on a lot of other fear and greed index yesterday. And a 15 puts us at an extremely low level. And, you know, TiVo, maybe we can reference the fear and greed index that I have in our outline, and we can throw that one up. Because what we have on there is a chart. And on this chart, we can see, hey, the last time, if we scroll down just a little bit more, if we scroll down, there's a chart here, and we click on max, we can see the last time that the fear and greed index was this low. And man, does that not look like we are close to a bottoming point? You know, again, maybe we're not at the exact very penny of the bottom, but when we look at this and we're saying, hey, what could be a bottom indicator? Well, we are this low in 2018, 2019, 2020 during the COVID crash, 2021 after our crash there, 2022 on the bottom. And we have not been this low since the bottom that happened in 2022. So I'm looking at this and saying, hey, how can I not be optimistic on Bitcoin as it's floating around $80,000? How can I not be optimistic on Bitcoin when the fear and greed index hit a 15, when that is historically a screaming buy signal saying, hey, we are very, very close to a bottom if it has not already happened yet? So I'm looking at this and saying, hey, I got to be pretty excited. I got to be pretty optimistic. The fear and greed index is in extreme fear. We haven't seen this kind of level in years, multiple years. And, you know, yeah, I don't know. I look at it as a screaming buy, Timo. I gotta be excited.
Yeah. And then the Bitcoin price and the fear greed index, like Bitcoin price has never been higher with the fear and greed index being here, which is an interesting, I guess, point. I mean, it's just a fact, but it's like, okay, well then does that mean it has more to fall? Or is this a new level and we go up from here? And again, going back to the point of sticking with us and being here every week, I know we both said, you know, in the late December and early New Year, you know, we kind of thought like, hey, if you bought between 90 and 107, you're going to be tested. And you know, the volatility is definitely been a test the last couple weeks. You know, I can only imagine, you know, how many people, you know, I hope not, but like if you're new and you came into Bitcoin, you're like, you know what, I'm going to get in at 93, or I'm going to get in at 100 or 99. And then, you know, you wrote it up to 107 and you're excited. I'm a part of the community. And then, you know, boom, you nuke down to 84. How many of those people got shaken out? But I always thought that, you know, between the high profile election cycle for crypto and then the rocketing of price from the election day, you know, up to 100 and through 100K brought on a lot of new retail users. And they're back in the mix just like they were, you know, the last time they bought all time highs, or, you know, if it was their first time, you know, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Spot on there, man. Well, you know, before we move on, again, I wanted to circle back just to those points that we were making earlier, because I keep seeing a lot of comments about it being like, why is this happening to crypto and this and that? Well, this is NASDAQ, the daily chart. I mean, just in an absolute free fall right down to the 200-day moving average. Not only is it in a free fall, but before this, it was chopping up and down and up and down and up and down, just like Bitcoin. Now it's in the free fall back to the 200-day moving average, and it's testing the 200, just like Bitcoin is doing right over here on this chart, right? It was chopping around, fell to the 200-day moving average. So again, Bitcoin isn't alone here. Well, let's look at some other things besides just stocks and crypto. Let's look at the 10-year yield. Historically, this is like counter risk, right? This is like risk off. Hey, I'm going to look at the 10-year. This is going to head up when everything else is heading down. That's not what we're seeing. This is also tanking to the downside. We look at the strength of the dollar, which is the DXY. The US dollar currency index, also since the start of this year, tanking to the downside, straight through the 200-day moving average over here, seeing similar stuff over here with the 10 yield. What about the oil markets, right? Let's look at crude oil. Well, this is also going off a cliff to the downside. You know, since this high that it had at the beginning of January, it's down 18%. just tanking through the 200-day moving average as well. So it's not just the crypto markets. We're seeing it happen in stocks. We're seeing it happen in bonds. We're seeing it happen in the strength of the dollar. We're seeing it happen in the oil markets. It is all over the place. So if you're getting frustrated and you're maybe in a crypto bubble, it's okay to kind of zoom out here and say, hey, you're not alone. A lot of different asset classes are seeing a lot of trouble over here. And again, it's okay to be frustrated. It's normal to do that, especially when we're seeing this kind of volatility. However, we are at those big support levels like the 200-day moving average for some of these really, really big and mainstream assets. And, you know, coming out of this, we're now seeing that there's some really big money interested in crypto over here. You know, the one that I saw here, TiVo, and, you know, I think you saw this as well, but the billionaire Ricardo Salinas is coming out here and saying, I'm going to be increasing my Bitcoin exposure. And he now has 70% Bitcoin related exposure over here, which is crazy. This is a guy, and I think he has $7 billion in net worth, something along those lines. And $5.8 billion. And he now has increased his liquid portfolio Bitcoin exposure to 70%. Guys, if you have $6 billion, that's enough to retire you, your children, your children's grandchildren, their grandchildren, grandchildren, grandchildren. You know, I'm going to say that 15 more times. You don't have to make these kind of plays betting 70% of your exposure, your portfolio exposure on Bitcoin. You don't have to incur that kind of risk. However, he is saying, and what this tells me is Bitcoin at $80,000 is so ideal. It is so optimal for him. He sees it as such a good return on investment, such low risk, that he is willing to do this with his personal portfolio. Now, is his entire net worth in this? No, right? It's not. But of his portfolio exposure, increasing it up to 70% is a wild thing from someone who doesn't have to incur this kind of risk. And he's saying, hey, I am so willing and comfortable to do that down here because that is the value that I see Bitcoin around $80,000. That for me at least gives me a little bit of comfort. It'll help me sleep. And it tells me that he's convinced. You know, he's convinced. The governments are convinced. That's why we're having this big summit that's going to be happening on Sunday. But even ARK came out and said, hey, we're going to be buying almost 40,000 shares of Coinbase. That's a big deal. You know, Coinbase is publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They are a key figure in cryptocurrency, one of, if not the biggest exchanges in the world. And they're coming out here and saying, hey, we want to invest in the infrastructure. So again, lots of stuff. Billionaires are supporting this. All these different financial groups are supporting this. We're seeing them buying when a lot of people are scared. Despite the fear and greed index being at these multi-year lows, now the billionaires are coming in. Now these massive financial players are coming in, and now they're the ones that are going to be buying, not the ones, I guess some of them were probably buying around 100K, but you know, now that the market has pulled back, this is where we really see them start to get interested, TiVo.
Yeah, I think that Coinbase is something that I've been trying to, I know me and you talk on the side of some of the, you know, option plays we're trying to do. I tried trading Coinbase a little bit. I thought it was low and got caught up in the momentum downslide. So I'm on Kathy Wood's side that, you know, I think this is, you know, might be a good opportunity for Coinbase. Obviously, you know, I'm the famous Robin Hood call exactly, you know, I guess a little more a year ago, last February. We always joke about that, getting Robin Hood at $8 a share, which was great. And we're moving on to the White House summit, it funnels right into that because Brian Armstrong is going to be there. I saw a tweet from Vlad. I haven't seen him on the official roster list, but I guess we're going to jump right into that now. I can share this. So David Sacks posted this. The summit's going to be on Friday. I think you accidentally said Sunday a minute ago. Oops. But we have March 7th. This Friday, there is a crypto White House, I'm sorry, a White House crypto summit. And it'll include founders, CEOs, investors in the crypto industry. And David Sacks is obviously hosting it, putting it all together. I believe the president will be there. And I got asked a lot of questions. Is this going to be live? What's this going to, can we watch it? I don't believe so. I don't have the actual information, but my guess is this is a closed door summit. And, you know, the hope would be maybe when they're done and come out, there will be some type of press conference to kind of, you know, release some information about what they talked about. But I mean, this is part of the part of the process. I kind of had the sense that when we saw that tweet go out Sunday, where he specifically said, you know, all those altcoins like Sol, ADA, XRP, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the market rocketed. Don't get me wrong, I was excited and was, but then I kind of started to parse through it in my own mind, and I was like, well, this isn't really anything different than the executive order he signed in the Oval Office's first week, creating this group for David Sacks, where, you know, it was a little bit more maybe specific. But at the end of the day, and this is, again, my opinion from my one class of political science, is that I don't believe that he can do anything, not he, but like the executive office can do anything too crazy. Anything that would be a significant amount of investment into a Bitcoin reserve or altcoins or crypto reserve would have to go through Congress and the Senate to get additional spending. I think he could transfer over the Bitcoin, like, you know, the Mt. Gox Bitcoin that the U.S. has confiscated. I believe he could sign to switch that over from something to a reserve. But to buy additional stuff, I believe that has to go through Congress. I don't know if you have a thought on that, but this is the process it takes. And I think it's a good process where they're getting people involved. David Sacks, they're talking with people, and they're going to come up with some type of proposal to show the president, and then they send it over to Congress and the Senate. So I think we're in, you know, the middle stages. I don't even think it's the beginning stages. I think this is, you know, the beginning stages was the executive order. I think this is the middle stages, and I'm super excited to see what comes out of this. And I dug this up this morning. Let me share this. Didn't have it on our sheet because I just saw it. But here's our list. And again, this is from X, so let's take it with a grain of salt. But you know, I think this checks off. You know, Donald Trump, David Sacks, Brad Garlinghouse, Michael Saylor, Paolo. We've had Paolo on the podcast from Tether. We had him a couple months ago. Kathy Wood, we just talked about. Charles Hoskins. Vitalik, interesting. That would be interesting.
That is interesting.
See that's something that makes me feel like this sheet. I hope he's there personally. And we were talking about it yesterday, going down with the ship with Ethereum as a joke. But that would really be interesting if Vitalik was there. Mark Andreessen, you know, Paul Atkins, our SEC chair, Brian Armstrong, Coinbase, CZ, fresh out of the joint, going back to the White House. And again, like I said,
another one that. It surprises me, CZ.
Yeah, again, I think this is off of X.
According to Twitter, well, right? Alleged.
Yeah, and then again, I saw Vlad tweet, you know, see you soon, DC, and then he's not on this list. And again, maybe he's just going for some vacation or to get some, you know, Ben's chili from Ben's Chili Bowl. But, you know, if he's going to DC the same week as the crypto summit, my guess is he's going to be there. But I think it'll be exciting, and I'll see Friday if any big news comes out. Maybe we do an emergency pod, or I'll grab Brian and do one. But hopefully we get some cool information over the weekend that's actionable, and we can keep the momentum going for crypto.
Yeah, you're right, man. You are right there. And there's the rumors. I saw that, like, there's the Howard Lutnick rumors out there saying, hey, this is going to be the moment that we unveil this. However, it's like you said, I mean, it's kind of already been unveiled. It's not anything that we're like, what? We're getting a Bitcoin reserve? We had no idea that could be announced. We've heard a lot about that chatter already, so we'll see. I hope he's right. I hope we unveil it. I hope we get this ball rolling with deadlines and dates and more information, and I hope we get all of that come Friday. But ultimately, we're going to have to wait and see. So there are a ton, maybe twice as many positive catalysts as there are negative catalysts. Again, are there a few ones circulating around out there? Yes. The primary one that I see is, you know, tariffs, right? That's what people are afraid of. That's why the market is kind of selling off in the first place. I think if we remove that from the equation, there are so many positive catalysts that can rip this thing to new all-time highs. And that's what we're excited about. And that's what we're planning for. So a lot of great stuff to come, everyone. Man, We love getting the chat about all the things that are happening over here. We hope that all of you get to enjoy listening and just being informed on all the stuff that's happening in the great world of crypto. So if you want to continue to tune in and get all this information, of course, for free here on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else on Twitter, then all you have to do is hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, maybe subscribe if you're on one of those platforms, leave us a review. We love to hear from everyone. Leave us a comment. Again, maybe there's something we missed. Maybe there's something that you want us to add and talk about. Again, we would love to be able to hear from all of you. And of course, if you want to get more plugged in, we got all sorts of great links and communities that you can dive into. We have Crypt Nation, which is a community of thousands of like-minded crypto individuals where you can talk about the cryptos that you like, new projects, trades, ideas, and anything else. And then, of course, you know, our good buddy Bryce Paul, who is our fearless leader over here, he wrote an awesome book called The Crypto Revolution, which we have linked as well. So if you want to get plugged into any of that, check out the links in the description down below. But until next week, everyone, we will see all of you at the same time, same place.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.